week. All the holiday seasons is almost behind us. We got one more right before us, and it's the new year, and looking forward to that. My wife reminded me yesterday that the year is going to be 2020. And she said, "What kind of vision do you have for the church?" And I said, "I didn't hear the church." Now, it's a bad thing when you're sitting right beside her in the car, you didn't hear the church. I said, "I would like to go back to having 2020 vision." But that's not what she said at all. I selectively heard or didn't hear, or I just didn't listen. Just that simple. But it is 2020. This is the last Sunday of this month, of the year. Next time we meet on a Sunday, it will be January 2020. So we're going to have to get busy if we're going to do a little bit more for the Lord this year. We got a couple of days left. Part of what's going to take place next year is the blood bus is going to be in our parking lot Sunday, January the 12th, from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And you can make an appointment if you would like. You go to oneblood.org, donate now, and use sponsor code 58792. That's the church's sponsor code. They've given us some flyers like this and little reminders like this. These are over here on the thing, on the first pew. Maybe some of you are in HOA would let you hang that in the bulletin board section there. Maybe somebody would like to take one down to the fish camp and put one there. So I'm going to put these here, little brochures, these bulletin things out here. Maybe somebody would want to stop by the Circle K and ask them if they would let us put that up there on the thing, on their window. Maybe there's a lot of things that we could do for this. Pastor, this is what does this have to do with us? Well, if we're going to be a church in the community, of the community, we got to reach our community, and this is something that could benefit our community. So it's from, shouldn't interfere with you coming to church. Matter of fact, might get some of you to Sunday school. Sunday school is at 10 o'clock. It starts at 9 o'clock, gets over at 2 o'clock. And so if you can give blood, some of you can. Brother Jim said he's not eligible. He just gave last month or so. So there's a time frame you can and can't. I'm going to put these right here. And this one here is English and Spanish, front and back. So just pass those out. While you're passing those out, you might want to think about passing the church track out to one of them, too. Because if you're saved today, it's because somebody donated blood for you.
Amen.
So,
precious blood.
That's it. So take opportunity, use it, be a blessing to our community. If you get in a car wreck and you need some blood, it'd be there for you, too. So do if you can. If you can't, you'd be like me. I am afraid to death. My wife said that the blood bank called and said they wanted to come use the church. At first I said no. Without even thinking, Brother Ed said no. Because the first one they're going to want out there is me. I am afraid to death of giving blood. I don't know what it's about. If I see that needle going in my arm and my blood going out. Ooh. Oh, I'm about to faint right now. Yes. So if you can give, there's the dates. She asked me if I made my appointment yet, and I said, no, not yet. I'm going to do one of those first come, first serve. Maybe they'll gab all they need by the time I get out there. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 1. Good to have you today. If you're visiting for the first time with us here at church, we're glad you're here. We're so thankful that you are visiting, worshiping with us. It is the last Sunday of the month, so I'm going to spend a little time this morning just talking about new beginnings. Listen, the past is the past. It is what it is. Can't change it. I think a couple of times back in the year 2019, there's two or three times that I wish, Lord, I could redo those. If I could have a redo, you know, can I retake that? And unfortunately, I can't. I do have forgiveness from God, from those that were involved in the situation with me. You know, it happens. We're human. Words get sharp, and we say things that we don't really mean. But the angry spirit overtakes us, and we say them anyway. Sometimes we say things that we do mean that we shouldn't say. You know, sometimes we just need to bite the tongue, but it happens. You know, that's there. It should make you a better person. You should be able to go to God as a child of God. If you're saved, you can approach the throne room of God, find help in time of need, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've messed up this day. I go to the person you wronged. I know the Bible says, listen, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's real easy to preach, to talk about. But when it's 8:30 at night and you're in the middle of an argument, sometimes it's the flesh just puts it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. And sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 days before you get things right, isn't it? But there is forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and all of our iniquities. There's some of you probably thinking, in 2019 I had set some goals to do this or to do that or to achieve this or to be at this, you know, to find myself more faithful to God and my relationship with God. And, you know, by the time February rolled around, it just wasn't happening. Not sure, you know, what took place. Got busy. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not interested in you having any relationship with God whatsoever, even if you're saved. I saw something yesterday that was profoundly amazing to me when I read it. It said, some of us are going to be surprised when we get to heaven and there's going to be those that were very moral and good and hardworking people, they're not going to be there. And we're going to be very surprised when we get to heaven of those that seemingly lived the wicked life. And it's like, wow, they made it. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to His mercy that we're saved.
Amen.
The past. So I thought about this. How can we have a new beginning if we have no understanding of the beginning? And I know on Sunday nights we're going through the book of Genesis. Genesis verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're in chapter 18 now. We started last year. We're just working through it, studying it, precept upon precept, line upon line. So I'm not going to rehash Genesis chapter 1 because we spent a good amount of time there. But I think if we're going to learn and understand new beginnings, we need to have a good understanding of the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the passage of Scripture that began creation of the universe. It is a beginning of all that we see and know and have and understand and enjoy today. This is where it began, right here in the beginning. As we ponder these three verses and look at them, we understand in verse number 1 that in the beginning, God, nothing has happened up until this point. That states to me that God was and is and does and has and existed before creation. If you look around about us and you see all the things that are taking place, day-by-day activity, we have to have a good understanding that there was a Creator. It's not that... I have to be careful here because some of you got a weak stomach on some things like I do on blood. This week, Logan come and stayed with us, and Skyler stayed the night with us and spent some time with us. And Logan got out of the car, and Logan's had a little cold. And, you know, when you have a little cold, you're a little child, you don't always walk around with a handkerchief. And it just runs. And, you know, Logan's a little tone. And that little green slime. And then when he sneezes, ooh, gee gee. It's amazing, out of all the snot balls he slung out of his nose, nothing was created. Absolutely nothing. It was chaos. It was void, without form. Does that make sense to somebody? Our existence, this earth, the stars, the moon, the seas, the birds, the flowers, the plants, the microorganisms that are being studied and found through science and biology, all came from a Creator.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So God existed before creation. There is no need for us ever to ask, well, what was before that God? In the beginning, God. Look with me as we ferret through the scriptures for a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Hold your place in Genesis chapter 1. We will be back there. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 27. The scripture says, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Look in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Isn't it an amazing thing that there is no expiration date on truth? What Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and life, it does not expire. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Look back in forever and ever and ever, as you can look back in as much time as you can come up with and ponder in your mind, as much recorded time as we have written down in human history, God, in the beginning, God. Look ahead forever and ever and ever and ever. God. So what does this teach me about a new beginning, Pastor? I thought I was going to talk about a new beginning. Well, to understand the beginning, to have a new beginning, we got to have a good, firm, and intellectual and spiritual understanding of the beginning. So if God existed before the beginning of creation, then, dear friend, He existed before you as His child fell into sin. Your sin last year, 2019, did not catch God by surprise. He understood. He knows we're but dust. And I'm not giving you a crutch to walk around on and say, I'm a man of dust, and therefore I must sin. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I can resist through the power of the Holy Spirit of God the temptations that are before me. I will never be sinless, but my day-to-day walk and my time that I spend with God and the time I spend in reading the Word and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs and spending time with my fellow brother and sister in Christ and my labor for the Lord, dear friend, I should sin less and less and less. It's the divine nature that's within me that should grow. So, if the creation of everything that we know teaches us that before the creation, God was there and God understood. Have you ever thought about this? Since He was before all things, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, all things consist by Him. So since He was before all things and since He is eternal, this is why He can offer everlasting eternal life. No other God can offer this. Because they're not eternal. Look at all the gods. I was in our Sunday school lesson last week. We come to a conclusion, understanding that historians have said in the city of Athens, when Paul came through in Acts 17, that there were some 30,000 gods in the city of Athens alone. The saying was said about the city of Athens that you would be quicker to find a god, a little g god, than you would to be able to find a man. That's how many gods they had. But not a single one of them can offer eternal life.
That's right.
Not a single false god out there offers everlasting life. Because they're not eternal. So before you this year, before 2019... in the end of 2018, whenever you came to the conclusion, I'm going to be this type of person, I'm going to be better than this, I'm going to be better than I was, God was there. And God understood that next year would be, next Sunday would be 2020, and He understood that there was going to be times in your walk and your promise to Him that you would not be able to keep your promise. Or you would not fulfill that which was there. So in the beginning of your statement to God, or your commitment or your covenant that you made with yourself or with God, however it came about, God had knowledge. And He still loved you. He still called you by your name. He still pulled you next to Him and encouraged you and loved you and cared for you. So do not allow your failures from 2019 to allow you to press on for the goodness of God in 2020. Do right. Pastor, what's right? Tell God you messed up. Go to Him. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and iniquity. Go to Him and say, Lord, I've made these promises. I said I'm going to do this. I said I'm going to do that. You say, Pastor, I don't even know this here God you're talking about. What better place than to hear and to know that God of creation loved you and sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, that you may be born again into His family, created anew than this morning. Wouldn't it be good for you to enter into 2020 a child of God?
Amen.
It comes by faith. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, unless a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So if God existed before creation, and that's what it teaches in the beginning, God, and then it says, created the heavens and the earth. It also teaches us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, that God is separate from creation. which this is so beautifully written by the power of God. The Spirit of God moved upon Moses, the human writer. And as Moses penned this, these verses here speaks of God's existence, which says that the atheists who teach that there is no God is refuted right here in the beginning. God says, I am. Not only that, there's religions nowadays that teach us that these plants are gods. This was as beautiful as they are. That's a god. They'll teach you that this piece of wood here, this ladder, that ladder within itself is a god. That all that we see, that's a god. So my conclusion to their teaching is this. The atheist said there is no god. The agnostic says, I don't know if there's a god. The pantheists say that all things, all trees, all animals are gods. What's the conclusion to me? This is the conclusion. If all of these are true, then I'm not accountable to God. But they are not true. Therefore, we are accountable to God. That's why it's important that we understand that before creation, God was there. And God is separate from creation because we are accountable to God. The Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter 19 that the creation speaks of the glory and the handiwork of God. And it shows God at work. Matthew chapter 6. This is amazing to me. Those that would say that flowers are gods, or trees are gods. Look in Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of flower. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Even the flowers demonstrate, which they say, this is a god. If it's a god, it should be able to take care of itself. These flowers. But they're here because God created them. And they demonstrate there is a god. And they are not gods. There's others that believe that the weather, the spirit of the weather moves to and fro. The wind does move to and fro. By the breath of God, he sweeps across the winds of the earth, and they go from here and they go from there. But when Jesus was on that boat in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 39, and he was asleep in the bottom of that boat, his disciples was worried, they were scared. So, we're fixing to perish and he's asleep. Does he not even care? The Bible teaches us that even the winds and the waves submit to him as master. He said, peace. Be still. So all these things, oh, this is a god and that's a god. They subject themselves to the hand of God, the creator of all things. So he's separate. So, before I made all of my mistakes, listen, if I'm lost here today without Christ, before I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, God exists. He doesn't become God because you accept him as God. If I'm a child of God and I choose to go wayward and sinful and I walk off into this world in a backslidden state, that does not change God. He is God. Therefore, if he's separate from creation, He is not my problem.
That's right.
And too many of us are blaming God for our life. God, if you loved me, this wouldn't be so. God, if you loved me like you should, I wouldn't be having these financial woes. God, if you loved me like you said, I wouldn't be having these relationship problems. He's separate from your problems. Just like he's separate from creation. So as he's separate, we need to get our eyes off of our problems and get our eyes back on God. Because God is the answer.
Amen.
Look what he said back in Genesis. Flip back over to Genesis. Chapter number 1. So he existed before creation. He's separate from creation. Then what is his plan for creation? The same plan for creation is the plan for you and our life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's been created again because he's in Christ. So what's the plan? Look what the plan was in chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's exactly how we were. Before I got saved, the Bible teaches me in Ephesians chapter 2 that I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. I was formed. I was without. I was void. There was no comeliness in me. Nothing that would draw God. Say, whoa, Brother Jack, look. Hey, that's a good one there. Let me take him. He's going to offer me a whole bunch. Nothing in me, nothing in you had a drawing power to God other than you are his creation, and he loves you, and he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life.
Amen.
Nothing about us outside of him and his love for his creation. So what's his plan? He does not want us to be void. He does not want us to be in darkness. What did he teach us in the New Testament? They love darkness because why? Their deeds are evil. So what's his plan? He wants to make you something. He wants to, listen, dear friend, there is no place that you have lived in your life, nothing you have done in your life, no sin that you have committed in your life, no situation that you have caused, that a God who existed before creation, that a God that is separate from creation, that could do all that he does in this beautiful country, in this beautiful world that we live in, that he cannot do in your life. Your sin does not get so deep and so thick that the blood of Christ cannot cover it.
Amen.
He wants to do something with you. Where you were void and you were without form, he wants to make you heir and joint heir to the kingdom of God. Where you was alienated and you opposed God, he wants to make you a child of God. He has a plan, just like he had a plan here. He didn't just step out into the middle of nothing and say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He had a plan. He had a plan in such that before he ever stepped here, he pondered and understood and knew that men would sin. In Revelation 13:8, he said, in Jesus Christ, the righteous Lamb, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the earth. He had a plan. He didn't save you, dear friend, just to save you. He saved you to give you a form of godliness. To give you a form of reflecting Christ. To give you a form of an ambassador. That didn't happen by chance, dear friend. No more than this world was created by chance. No more than slime just flew out of the side of some big hole and then all of a sudden we have the things that we have enjoyed today. It did not happen by chance, and your salvation did not happen by chance. It was on purpose.
Amen.
In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. It was purposely done so you and I might have eternal life. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. He said, I'm a child of God. I know, and 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, I gave my heart to Christ, but I've allowed sin to come into my life, and I'm void, and I'm living in darkness, and I'm walking around in the cares of this world. What can I do? Return to Christ. Return to Christ. He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that you might have eternal life. So how did He do it in the beginning in this creation? Look what He did. The earth was without form, void, darkness on the face of the earth. And what happened? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When's the last time you've allowed the free movement of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? To move in and out of every corner and aspect of your life. And say to you, this is pleasing to our Father. This is not pleasing to God. That's what He's supposed to do. It's His job. Jesus said that I must go away, but the Comforter is coming and He will guide you. When's the last time you allowed the Holy Spirit of God to move in your life? And say, I'm going to allow God to have free reign of my heart and my life. You want a new beginning in 2020, dear friend? It will not happen without understanding that God is sovereign. That you are not I or nobody else makes Him God. He is God. And that He is separate from you and I, because sometimes we want to play God. We want to be God. We make the choices for our life. And we decide what's going to happen without ever even approaching our Lord and Savior who gave this all for us. We just make decisions. And then all of a sudden say, wow, I'm in a mess. Boy, this situation sure is void. Without form. With darkness. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you for a reason. And we quench Him so often. We quench Him so often. And the Holy Spirit of God moved. And upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? They had to call Duke Energy. Gable, run on down there to KUA, please. Maybe they can hook us up a little bit and give us a little bit of power. We need some folks. That's Greek for light. We need a little bit of light. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Amen. When God saves you as His personal, as your personal Lord and Savior, and you become His child, and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, dear friend, the light of this world should shine forth out of your life. Because He is light. So, you want to know about a new beginning? The best place I can say for us to start is in the beginning. And here at the beginning, God gave us some principles about beginnings. I wonder just today, if you've never had a beginning with God, would you allow us this morning to take the Word of God at altar? We're going to have a time of altar down here where people can come, an invitation, and pray. Perhaps you're, maybe you're 2019, there is nothing astray. Maybe you just did it exactly, and you're better off now than you were when you started. I don't know your heart. There's another thing about Christendom, especially us Baptists. We think if somebody comes to this altar, they live in an awful, God-awful, sinful life. Perhaps they just want to visit with their God for a moment, publicly. Just publicly say, listen, I want to come visit with God. But maybe you are living a life of sinfulness. Maybe you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit of God to move in your life in 2019 like He should. Maybe it'll come and say, Lord, here am I. I want to be a living sacrifice. I want my 2020 to be better than 2019.
Amen.
But just for a moment, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's never been that creation of a new heart and soul inside of you. Your spirit has not been born again. Would you come, let us take the Bible. Say, Pastor, I don't be a member of your church. I ain't asking you to be a member of this church. Dear friend, if you've never become a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church, if you never visit again here after you leave here today, I won't see you in heaven. I want to know that you're going to be in heaven. Your existence in coming here doesn't make me a better person. But to know that you're a child of my Father, and we can call each other brother and sister down the road whenever, is what I'm important. What I'm saying. You know what Paul said? Paul said this. Amazing statement in the Word of God. You can read it. I hope I get it right. I don't care to know nothing else about you. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know that. Paul said, all I am interested in is Christ crucified.
Amen.
Now, if God moves your heart and He allows you to join our church and become a work, praise God, that's down the road. We're talking about eternity right now.
Amen.
Church memberships, it's a little bit here. It's a few years, few days. You might get moved on another job, you know. That's a little bit. It has its place. Don't get me wrong. But church membership won't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So today, if you've never been born again, and Brother Jim comes and Sister Haley comes, and they're going to come play, and we're going to sing a song as a church. I'm going to be right down here. Let us take the Bible. We will not embarrass you. This ain't about embarrassment. If embarrassment, dear friend, could get anybody to heaven, my children would have been born saints. Because I have embarrassed them thoroughly. But they needed Jesus, not because I'm a preacher, but because they are sinners.
That's right.
It's not about embarrassment. It's about wanting you to know Jesus, the love of your life. He loves you. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jim's on his way. The pianist is on his way. What page, Brother Jim? I didn't hear you. 264, church. As they play and they sing, and you ponder 2020 coming upon us, the altars are open. I wouldn't even wait. If I was you and need dog, I'd just go. The altars are here, Brother Jim.